Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Sherry's Berries. Valentine's Day is almost here, and the best gift for your loved one is some delicious Sherry's Berries. They have berries dipped in tempting white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzles, and chopped nuts. Am I getting you going? Because it is good. Sherry's Berries, they actually sent us some samples. I ate them very quickly. They were all delicious. Choose a gift from Sherry's Berries, incredible collection of gifts. Your gift will be perfectly packaged in a gift box with all the details taken care of. And here's the deal for you with Valentine's Day right around the corner. There's only one way to get Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Just visit berries.com, berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner. Type in Part of My Take. That's berries.com, top hand right-hand corner, Part of My Take. Today's episode is also brought to you by Harry's Razor. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. And that's where Harry's comes in. By taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price. PFT uses Harry's.
I do. I don't have a lot of facial hair, but the ones that I do have are absolutely mowed down by Harry's quality razors.
A smooth 5-precision engineered blade with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. That sounds good. Rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. You get all that. And here's the deal we have for you. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. Free. You heard that right, free. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer, fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now. Enter code TAKE, T-A-K-E, at checkout to get a post-shave bomb, also free. That's harrys.com, code TAKE, T-A-K-E. Let's go. Hey! Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, February 10th, and I have bad news. Duke is back.
And Coach K is back.
Coach K is back. Just in time.
Do we still call it Tobacco Road?
Yes.
Okay. PC police haven't taken that one away.
So we just finished watching UNC Duke. Little college hoops back. Mm-hmm. You know, Purdue, Indiana was a great game as well. It's good to kind of detox from the NFL with little college hoops.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Yeah, it's great for most of us.
Yeah, it's good.
No, I just can sense some doubt in even just Big Cat saying that. Well, do you miss football?
Hank, you're getting very uppity with your championship rings.
No. That honestly has nothing to do with that. The way Big Cat said it's good to get back in the call, I could sense a little
bit.
Okay,
I miss football, obviously, a lot. And college basketball, for everyone out there who bets, college basketball will rip your heart out, stomp on it, throw it down a well, light mm-hmm. the well on fire, then revive your heart, put it back in your chest just so it can rip it out mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
That's what college basketball
yeah,
does.
Yeah, and you know that Big Cat's back into college basketball yes. when Northern Kentucky and Green Bay.
Was on the TVs tonight. The TVs. Everyone kept on saying, who's watching that game? I was like, I got it. Don't worry.
Somebody's watching it.
So,
thoughts and prayers to Hank. Me and Big Cat both hit the over on yes. Duke UNC. But Hank got into the party a little bit late.
He got screwed by half a point.
Yeah, sorry, Hank.
Sad.
So Duke is back. I have bad news that was a very good Duke win, and I think that now they got a bunch of guys healthy, including Coach K, and they're all using the bathroom again, mm-hmm. I assume.
They're allowed to wear Duke uniforms and sweatsuits on campus.
This is a classic. Duke is going to make a run and then, you know, maybe win the national title. I'm going to hate everything.
Can I
Grayson
tell you,
Allen.
But here's the thing. You forget about emotions. This was a very emotional win.
Mm-hmm.
Home game. Coach K's back. Rival. This is one that can burn him out.
So the one thing that I still hate every time Duke UNC plays, always great games, but the fact that ESPN has taken Dickie V off the game is our nation's biggest travesty, mm-hmm. tragedy, and I don't think I'm putting it lightly.
Think about everything that's going on right now in America. Coach K not being able to call Duke UNC.
Dickie V not being able to call UNC games.
Yes. I see how emotional I'm getting.
So they had him at, what, up in Indiana tonight?
They had him in
Indiana. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. I need Dickie V standing in the crowd with the Cameron Crazies, pretending to understand the weird Duke Ivy League of the South language that those fans are speaking.
His excitement is just missing from that game. No offense to the guys who call it now, but it that's just what Duke UNC always has been and always should be, is Coach K, ejaculating into our ears for 2 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And we were actually talking about how much we missed it and reminiscing about two things. The Dickie V story that I always love to tell, the time that we met him at a Florida State frat house. He walked in, didn't know anyone at the frat, took a shit while his wife guarded the door, and then walked out and just handed out business cards with his Facebook page on it.
Yeah.
Power moves only.
Did it work? Did you go to his Facebook page
later? I did not, but it's power moves only.
And he was wearing his own shoes.
And he was wearing his own shoes.
I can't imagine that Dickie V takes a clean shit either. No. He's a guy that's in there for like 20 minutes minimum. He doesn't have a great diet. He's the guy that's like, my wife says I need to eat more vegetables, and so he'll eat like a carrot.
Well, and this was a locker room bathroom.
Yeah, there's a locker room. It was like multiple.
And he just locked the door.
He has a frat house bathroom, so it wasn't nice. And having your wife guard the door is also a savage move.
Dickie V might be like a traveler when he shits. Like, he might go, if he's got a whole row of stalls set up, he might be like one log in each commode.
Yes. It was so ridiculous. Oh. And everyone just kept on saying, hey, Dickie V, can I get a picture? Can I get an autograph? And he'd just be like, here you go. And just passing out they're like postcards with his Facebook page. Just a little offline, online work by Dickie V.
Maybe Dickie V doesn't even use the toilets. Maybe he just goes in there because he's a diaper dandy, right?
Yep.
He just empties the diaper, cleans it off in the sink, and then puts it back on.
Awful visual.
Yes.
The other thing I remembered was, it was probably about a year and a half ago when I got deep into Dickie V periscopes. I got addicted to Dickie V periscopes. He would wake up every morning and he would start periscoping like his breakfast. Yeah. And Dickie V periscopes was just Dickie V talking to anyone that walked by him. Mm-hmm. He'd have I'd watch 15 minutes of Dickie V talking to the waitress during breakfast in some random Florida town wherever he lives.
Yeah, Dickie V, he's a great person to just run into, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if he had any other life besides basketball coach / ESPN announcer? If he was a salesman? If he was making cold calls?
No.
Hey, baby, I got the best long distance rates.
That's exactly how it would sound. And then you'd have to hang up.
Great used car salesman.
He would be a great used car salesman.
Didn't he also do a lot of periscopes from Hooters?
He did. No, he never did Hooters. He would do it from random restaurants, and it basically was whoever walked by, he'd just be like, what team do you root for? And then he would be, Kentucky, you're going to have a good year this year. Dickie V always likes the chalk. I don't know if you knew that. He always picks the number one seeds. So I miss him. So yeah. Duke UNC made me miss him. Other things we have going on.
Well, real quick, let's talk a little bit about our favorite player, Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great game.
Threw down a huge dunk, which is unfair for a guy like that to be able to dunk like that.
He learned a lot from his suspension.
It just kills you.
Came back as a great kid.
And Kennard is also unbelievable. It's just such a Duke team.
What were we saying before that Grayson Allen's going to be a top 10 pick? Top first round pick?
No.
He's going to be first round pick.
Maybe very
No
late.
Way he gets past the Patriots.
There you go. That's probably true. Bill would take a flyer on him.
Yeah. There's no way that Grayson Allen skips the White House.
Like a Greg Paulus when he played a quarterback
at
Syracuse.
He would be the reverse Charlie Ward.
Yes, exactly. The other news we have, which we're obviously a day late, but it's still buzzing, Charles Oakley and the Garden getting disrespected.
Respect the Garden, Charles.
The Mecca. I actually don't think that Charles Oakley disrespected the Garden. I think it's James Dolan continues to disrespect the Garden by putting out awful teams and not caring. And I think, stay woke, that was all a plant to get him banned from the Garden forever, because if you noticed, it was security guards all around him. He got mad because I think that's just Charles Oakley's resting heartbeat is
when
mad.
When he's not playing his weird game that he endorses on Twitter. You remember that one with the cat that you have to collect rings?
Oh, yeah, I got deep into that too back in the day. And I think James Dolan did it because then immediately after he got kicked out, it was almost instantaneous, the Knicks PR said, we kicked him out and we hope he gets help.
I was thinking it was also a false flag just to drum up interest in the Knicks. We don't talk enough about the Knicks.
See, James Dolan's not that smart. He truly just did that because he's scared of Charles Oakley, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And he wants him banned from the Garden. And so he went and had someone tell him to leave, and then Charles Oakley did what he does.
Well, you can do that in any venue except for the Garden. The Garden, as we all know, it's different. There's an aura about it. If you disrespect the Garden, it should be a hate crime.
It's true.
There are certain places that, as an American, it's like Madison Square Garden, Lambeau Field, the gym where they filmed Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
If you disrespect those places, it's a hate crime.
I agree with that. He also, the Seek Help, though, that's how you spin it. We're PR 101 masters, spin zone masters.
Yep.
The minute you tell someone you hope they seek help, you basically are just saying they're an addict in some fashion, even if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, Hank, I actually hope you seek help.
Seek treatment, Hank.
Yeah, after this whole Houston week, I'm not saying anything specific, but
yeah, not related to any help. Of the things that you were doing. Just get help. Hank, go talk to somebody.
Yeah,
okay?
Talk to someone.
There are plenty of people out there. Just go have a chat.
We care about you.
The other thing is, if Charles Oakley, if he actually had murdered James Dolan, I don't think that you could find 12 people in New York to convict him.
No, they'd have to do that like federal court. They'd have to take it to D.C. or something. Yeah. I don't know how the law works.
Well, they like him in D.C. too.
Right.
He was Michael Jordan's protector.
Right.
People forget that.
True. So with that, because we saw the NFL mistakenly tweeted a Mount Rushmore tweet.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They tweeted a Mount Rushmore of sports. At NFL, their official Twitter account said, "Who's on your Mount Rushmore of sports?" Which is so vague. They don't know how to execute Mount Rushmores properly. It's got to be more narrowed down than that. Number two, it's like 2 days after the NFL season's over.
Right.
It's like if you're in an apocalypse and you like start eating your family immediately.
Right.
Like give that a couple days.
Yeah. Let us
eat the Denty Moore first.
Let us detox for a minute
here. Yeah. So, NFL just jumped directly into Mount Rushmore season. We're going to go over the top of the NFL, and we're going to bring it back to power rankings.
Power rankings
season.
It's
not Mount Rushmore season yet.
Right.
And we're going to do power rankings of top four former athletes that you would not want to fight.
In honor of Charles Oakley. Hank, you want to start?
Sure, I'll start.
We're serious about that help thing, though.
Yeah, okay, for sure not. Number one, Kevin Garnett.
Mm. Good one.
Yeah.
Good one.
Number two.
Although, Kevin Garnett always struck me as a semi-fake tough guy.
What?
I don't know. He strikes me as a kind of guy that listens to a lot of...
He headbutted... His routine was headbutting himself to get pumped up.
I know. Right. That's a fake tough guy move.
I think,
like punching walls and stuff, that's a fake tough guy move. Now, I'm not going to say Kevin Garnett, one of the best trash talkers, but I'm saying push comes to shove.
Part of trash talk is backing it up, and he always backs it up.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying.
You said Dez Bryant's a fake tough guy, too? He punches walls.
Keep going.
Number two, Nancy Kerrigan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I don't even understand that. You mean Tonya Harding?
Yeah, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding.
Yeah. Okay.
We know what you were thinking.
This is part of the help you need.
Yeah. Number three, Jose Canseco.
Ooh, also fake tough guy.
Yeah, big time fake tough guy.
I don't think Jose Canseco is. I think he's a weenie.
All right. Do you see what he said to that guy on Twitter the other day?
Yeah.
You're right. Damn. He's not a fake tough guy.
All right. Four
people
Carl
talk
Everett.
Shit on Twitter.
Carl Everett's
tough.
A good one. Okay. All right. He doesn't believe in dinosaurs either. People forget that. If he never saw it, it never happened. Dinosaur truther.
Yes. Gifty. Okay. Here are my four. Adam Morrison.
Okay.
He's got the weapons cache, allegedly. You don't want to mess with him. Number two, Bill Romanowski.
Good one.
Big steroids guy. Number three, this is a last minute addition. Ozzie Canseco.
Yeah.
Ozzie's the one you want to watch out for.
I was going to say, because I actually was thinking about Jason Giambi, and I said maybe Jeremy Giambi.
Mm-hmm.
The brother is always the one you want, because he had nothing to lose.
Yep. And then number four, Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison is also a very good one.
Yes.
Marvin Harrison.
That's a strong four.
That's a strong four. All right, here's my four. By the way, I wanted to do Anthony Mason. I forgot he's dead. So I guess probably,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So breaking news: Anthony Mason is dead. Charles Oakley's running mate. So sorry to break that news.
It's heartbreaking.
Number one, Bill Laimbeer.
He's
a guy who'd probably Bill Laimbeer is the type of guy that would make you throw the first punch even though you didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. He'd say, "Hit me."
Yeah. Right.
I'll give you the first shot.
Right. Right. So. Number two, Kyle Turley.
Yeah.
Remember Kyle Turley when he flipped out into
the helmet? Yeah.
Hank, no. Okay. Number three, real bad guy all around, Milton Bradley.
Mm.
Just a real piece of shit.
Okay.
Great name,
though. Yeah, great name, but a real piece of shit. And then finally, Big Z, Carlos Zambrano. I think he would he'd get mad. He'd start swearing at you in Spanish, and you'd...
Fake tough guy, though.
I don't know.
It wasn't his thing.
You're
like
mad.
Punching.
Hank, you mad. You mad about the Kevin Garnett. Hey, look. Kevin Garnett is an all-time player. I'm just saying.
I disagree with you so much on this. I think Kevin Garnett, he's
Bill,
not
you
really.
You think Bill Laimbeer would beat up Kevin Garnett?
Yes, absolutely. Kevin Garnett, though, isn't really a human. So I don't know if he counts in this because he's like, he's an alien that was put on Earth to fire people up.
Kevin Garnett also is one of those guys that has never aged. Like, if you put a jersey on him right now, you'd be like, oh, he could still play for sure.
He strikes me as a guy that has listened to a lot of Wu-Tang and maybe at one point got into martial arts.
I don't even know. I don't know about that, but we can go with it.
Yeah, just roll
it. He's definitely done martial arts.
Yeah. Thanks, Hank.
All right. That is power rankings, power ranking season. Hey, why don't you stay in your lane, NFL? We don't you can't ban us more than you've banned us.
That's right.
So we'll take shots at the crown. Goodell.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah. Bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the NFL, let's go to an interview with our first guest ever, Super Bowl champion now.
Reoccurring guest.
Yeah, third time. Is he first, third time? No, I think Dan Heron's been on a few times.
Yeah, Dan Heron's always on.
Yeah, Dan Heron's on a little too much.
Yeah,
actually.
We got to maybe cut back on that.
People have been saying that. all right, our interview with Chris Long.
It is college basketball season. It's NBA season. It's NHL season. It's the Caps year. Everyone knows it. And the best way to watch all those sports is with SeatGeek. They've got the easiest way to find tickets for the last games of the season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to buy tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price, and they help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on the value. You can see where the underpriced seats are, and you're able to find the best deals to fit your budget. And every ticket you buy on SeatGeek, backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop with confidence. Best of all, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase with our promo code. It's promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E. All you have to do is download their app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you a check for $20. That's awesome. You're always used to getting these bills in the mail. How about they send you a check in the mail? That's what you'll get with SeatGeek. $20. Download the app today. Enter promo code TAKE. Do you run a small business or manage one? Are you responsible for the human resources records and paperwork for your company? Are you overwhelmed? If you know the daily grind of resolving payroll issues, answering questions, putting out fires, chasing down data, filing, organizing, dealing with messy spreadsheets and everything related to employees that gets in the way of actually focusing on the people, then I've got something for you. Bamboo HR. Everything about Bamboo HR is designed to make life easier for business owners, those who manage human resources, and even the employees. It's the complete online HR management software to small to medium-sized businesses. One simple central system for keeping organized and detailed records for every employee. No more file cabinets, no more spreadsheets, no more messy whiteboards. It's accessible from the cloud, from any location at any time. If you forget to log an employee's time off or you forget if they were out last Monday, Bamboo HR does it for you. If you have confidential salary history filed in paper employee files, Bamboo HR is going to secure that data and keep accurate records for you. Everything in one place, job and salary history, vacation, sick days, benefits, training history, so much more. We've got a limited time offer for you. You visit BambooHR.com, click on the mic, enter my code PARDON to get a free 14-day trial. Try it and you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. HR paperwork solutions made easy. BambooHR.com and enter promo code PARDON.
We now welcome on someone who is in the history, deep in the history of Pardon My Take. He's our first ever guest. When he first came on, this podcast had zero Super Bowl rings. Now this podcast has one.
Mm-hmm.
We share this, by the way, Chris. It's Chris Long from the New England Patriots, Super Bowl champion. Let's actually start there. We made you famous because you were a free agent when you first came on.
We drummed up a lot of that interest.
So you went, won a Super Bowl. How much of your Super Bowl share are you going to share with us?
Well, I got to say, I wasn't getting a lot of calls until we went on that day in March. I was the first guest, but... You guys called me and put me on, and then like a week later, Bill Belichick calls me. Mm. Coincidence?
Ooh. I don't think so.
But don't you guys have a segment where you go like,
Yeah.
We'll send you an invoice.
PFT, and I saw you at media night at the Super Bowl, and you had some really poignant questions for Bill.
Yeah.
Did you guys like know each other or something before?
No, we're basically best friends now, though. I think he'd probably heard of me before. He saw me coming, and there was like there was a nod of respect that he gave me.
Football guy respect.
Yeah. Well, the smile on his face, I hadn't seen that all year, and you got it out of him. But, yo, the funniest story is I was at media night, and I overheard somebody say, who the hell's that guy? And somebody said, I think it's Marlon's woman. I think Marlon's woman got a press pass.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I was so proud.
I want to actually ask that question because you said Bill Belichick smiled when PFT. I didn't think it was a smile. I thought it was like a half a smile.
It was a smile.
What was his smile like when you guys won?
On his face. Yeah, it was like an uncomfortable thing.
What was his smile like when you guys won?
I think it was the first biggest smile I saw all year. The second being that one at media night, but. Man, we were all just relieved. I mean, wouldn't you have smiled?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
What was that?
I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I was relieved.
What was that halftime speech like?
You know what? Honestly, like, not to be too serious for a second, but like, I really do think I just played on the toughest team of all time. Like, the guys in that locker room, like, literally didn't flinch. I knew I was like, I'm a human being. I'll admit it. I was like, golly, like, I got some doubts right now. We got to play way better in the second half and this, that, and the third. But guys were, like, walking in. Like, Daron Harmon, who's a safety for us, walked in and goes, we're about to, you know, make the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. And I was just like, dude, can we get a stop? Like, can we just, like, do one good thing, maybe put one foot in front of the other? But, like, if it wasn't for guys like Daron that had no doubt, you know, I'm not used to this winning thing. Maybe – the guys that have been around there a while, they're like, oh, shit'll just work out, you know? I didn't have that instinct for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there wasn't, like, a big speech. We just went back out and did it.
So what builds that besides the winning? You know, like, you obviously were at the Rams for a long time. Then you went to the Patriots. Is it a certain level? Is it, like, a top-down thing where everyone just trusts Bill Belichick and it's something that you kind of get throughout the year where it's, like, never get too high, never too low?
Yeah, I think, honestly, like, when you work that hard at the details all year long and you're just ready for whatever. I mean, Bill does a great job of throwing curveballs at us, did all year. You know, everything he does is by design. I do think he's the greatest coach of all time. And, you know, any curveball you get on Super Bowl Sunday, you might think it's the hill's too steep. But, you know, guys were just conditioned to be able to go out there, hit the curveball, keep rolling, and we got a break or two. I mean, that's all it took. And then you can feel once you get that break or two, the momentum, it turns into like, oh shit, on the other sideline. And on our sideline, we're trying to go win a football game. You know what I mean? And so it turned fast. But I mean, I do think it's because we're mentally very tough.
Could you notice it in like the Falcons offensive linemen and maybe their skill positions? Could you notice that there was like a little doubt creeping in and when the momentum changes? Is that something that's tangible on the field?
Well, I don't know, man. I wouldn't say you can sense it. I would just say we were playing well enough. You can feel the momentum on our sideline. I can't say for sure what was going on that sideline, but on ours, you know, we had the momentum for sure, and we could feel it, and our fans were getting into it. You know, all those stoolies in the crowd. We had a great crowd there, and we didn't give them any reason to be loud early. But like, it was like when Hightower forced that fumble, and we were about to go in to score, people started to realize like, okay, we're in this thing, and it was crazy. It was electric.
Yeah, you guys started to pin your ears back. That's my favorite thing about football is when the guys start pinning their ears back and maybe set
a tone. That's what you want to – yeah, you want to pin
an edge.
Your ears back.
Yeah. So when your ears went directly back, you started to get some pressure on Matt Ryan. Were you ever like, why is this idiot Kyle Shanahan still passing the ball?
I'm not asking any questions.
Your words, not ours.
Well, I mean, I was a third down guy all playoffs, so I was really happy that they were throwing the ball because that means I'm in the game. Yeah. So that was
a stats
positive
guy.
And then, yeah, I'm a stats guy. I'm all about me, you know, you can't find my stats on the front page. You got to look deeper. You got to look
backpage.com.
You had that big hold against you. You had that big hold against
you. That hold.
Yeah. That people forget that.
Hidden stats. People forget it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's on the DVD. I mean? So, that'll be on the DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be on the DVD.
did you kiss Howie on the lips like that weirdo Tom Brady? And his dad?
First off, Tom could do whatever he wants.
It was a pack.
He's a goat. And then two, me and dad gave, like, you know, we probably hugged each other 8 times. And then,
man card.
You know, they were like a variation of like shoulder side hug, you know, full on frontal hug, like, you know, awkwardly too long hug. Like, you just run out of hugs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after the game, I don't know if you guys watched his little, you know, post game, but I made him cry in front of 100 million people.
Yeah, it was actually
now,
really.
They were all drunk at that point in the night, I'm assuming, but they saw him cry.
I did see it, and it was disgusting as a journalist that Howie let his emotions and his bias get in the way of reporting on the game.
Yeah, I got to think he's not going to be doing a whole lot of those games anymore. I mean, that was
no, it was awesome. It was an awesome moment. It was a really cool moment because I mean that's
cool.
Yeah,
and my whole family was there, so you know, and just for all the people that all week wanted to ask me if I was Howie's son. I mean, it was really good confirmation.
Yes,
they're watching
confirmed.
The game, like, oh, he is Howie's son.
Yeah, he should have.
That makes sense.
If Howie
Three
was
sources.
A showman, he should that should have been at that moment. He should have taken out the birth certificate and been like,
exactly.
Here it is.
Do you and Howie now have a secret handshake that Kyle's not allowed to be involved in until he wins a ring?
No, Kyle's the favorite. Y'all know that.
Kyle's yeah, he is. Favorite. Kyle is
come
the
on.
Favorite. He's the baby.
He's like the genetically gifted one that got my dad's actual good genes.
Yeah.
And I got like the decent genes.
You got
like,
the motor.
You're like, well, yeah, I got like the motor, like the backhanded compliments and everything. And I got like the nepotism anger, but without the actual applicable talents, you know what I mean?
And Howie Jr. got the name.
Howie got the name and I guess the temper.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my son was down on the field. That was awesome. He's 11 months old and he was like eating people's microphones. Like, you know, people would try to interview him because he looks like he's 3, but he's actually 11 months old. They're like, why isn't this baby talking? Mm. And he would just grab their microphone and try to eat their microphone. And he's now sick as hell. Mm. He's not sick as hell. I wouldn't say sick as hell, but he's pretty sick. He had like a little
Super Bowl
temperature
hangover.
And he's got a cough. Yeah. It's because you dirty journalists.
Yeah. Hey.
Your dirty microphones.
Speaking of Super Bowl hangover, saw you at the parade. Seems like you were consuming alcohol in a reckless manner.
Yeah. It was like the CDC or whoever decides stuff like this would probably... that would fall into the category of binge drinking, but like, I feel like
product
now,
of your environment, though. That's
yeah,
just,
Gronk set the tone.
2017 binge drinking is like having 3 beers in an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I binge live.
I wasn't anywhere near Gronk's boat, and that's why not many people cared about our boat. But I felt like I was like a minor league Gronk. I can still hang with him. I'm 31, and he's like way younger, genetically more gifted. So. I felt good about it. I took a solid pull of the vodka that your boy Portnoy just narked on me.
Yeah, he got you.
Yeah.
And then I had
an interview afterwards, and somebody was like, "Hey, Chris, can we get a couple words?" And I asked them if it was live, and they said, "Yes, it is." And so I said, "World fucking champs." And so I apologize to anybody that was listening because it was like still daytime. There could have been kids listening.
Oh no.
How drunk were the fans on the parade route?
I've never been hit in the side of the head with more fireball in my life. Like, if you're getting hit in the side of the head with fireball, it's going to be a good day.
That's the danger. Because like Gronk got up there, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And so someone threw him one bottle of fireball. And so now it's like when you become president, they say you're not supposed to tell people what your favorite meal is because you'll just get served that for the rest of your life. Now Patriots fans are just walking around everywhere with airplane bottles of Fireball.
Now they know that like Gronk like burns Fireball like normal athletes burn like carbs.
Right.
Like complex carbs. Like you just got to give him Fireball. But yeah, it was like dangerous and a couple of the bottles were like glass. But we had, I had my, thank you Boston. I had my Julian Edelman mask. And that was a lot of fun. And, man, I've never – it was like anarchy. It was like absolute anarchy, and it was awesome. The city deserved it, and we deserved it.
Yeah,
it's
been
so
a long time since
cool.
they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Boston. If any place needed another championship, it was the good folks in Boston.
For Boston.
Yeah. So I've noticed that at that parade and right after the game, you see a lot more New England Patriots coming out in the media and actually like opening up a little bit and doing things like wearing a Goodell clown shirt when they're getting onto a plane. Did Bill Belichick, did he like physically come over to you and remove the muscle, or did he just say you can take it off?
Hey, man, we had a job to do. You know, you know the deal. You got to wait till the end. It's like work is work until the blog radio show's over. You got to be focused on the blog radio show, you know, and for us, good it's point. The Super Bowl until that's over. You know, you can't talk bad about Goodell or any stuff like that. I don't, you know, Bill didn't say anything like that, you know.
Another problem I have with you while I'm picking my bones here is that you tweeted earlier today that you weren't going to go to the White House and visit Trump. Why didn't you save that for our show?
I thought about it.
You go, what the hell? I literally said, I texted everyone.
Then,
yeah, I was like,
I thought about it, but then some like super preachy, like, you know, mega liberal guy was like, hey, here's an open letter to you explaining
your
own
thinking. Lettered. You got open letters.
Yeah, you got an open letter like with like a, I'm trying to think of what it's called. Well, it was an outline. I mean, like when you did an outline in school, like the guy sent me an outline of like my own quotes and like what it means. He was like, well, you need to follow your teammates now.
Oh, Christ.
And I was like, okay, I wanted to wait till PMT, but this guy's like pulling the lib card on me hard. Like you want to have a lib off, bro? like I'm just not doing it. I'm just not doing it. You know, I got plenty of serious political reasons that probably don't belong in this show. But I'm just not doing it. And America's an awesome country, man. Like everybody knows that. That's why I have this choice, you know? And I heard everything from, you know, great job, condescending great jobs. Like, oh, I'm surprised that you're smart, or like, I'm surprised that you, you know, whatever, to, hey, you shook my dad's hand on Veterans Day and thanked him for his service. I wish you hadn't done that.
I saw that one. The guy wanted you to take the handshake back. He's like, my dad's going to be so upset.
I was like, dude, did you not hear Donald Trump talking about John McCain and, you know, POWs or, you know.
But you shook his hand.
My dad cut his hand off today when he found out that you were going to skip the White House visit.
Thankfully, that guy can wash his hand now. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, if you really just hash it out and think in a little bit of nuance, I think you'll understand why. So
why didn't you act like a man and go to the White House and then punch Donald Trump in his face?
Ooh, or grab him by his pussy.
Would have been super lib of you.
Oh, God. The service down here is spotty. I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, all right. I want to do actually a serious question. Because I always am curious about this. The first, like, 15 minutes after you win, take us through the range of emotions. Like, you know, obviously it sets in. So from the moment you guys win to the moment you're giving one of the, you're kissing Howie on the lips. Yeah. What are the range of emotions? Who were you looking for? Who are you hugging? Take us through all that.
I immediately, like, as you get close to, you know, when we had that pass interference call in the end zone, and it became apparent we were going to have a real shot, and we were down on 2-yard line, I think everybody just started creeping towards the sideline, and we're looking at each other, and everybody's like, yeah, with that, like, you know what to do look, and I'm like, no, I don't know what to do. I've never run out of the field in, you know, excitement before in my life, so when the ball was snapped, I just sprinted out to, like, midfield, and I got, like, suplexed by Danny Amendola. And my D-line coach just, like, you know, launched himself at my shoulder. And I'm
targeting.
Like, dude, you could easily – yeah, it was targeting. You could easily get hurt in this celebration. People are, you know, rolling around on the field. Man, it was like shock. It was relief. It was shock. It was just as close as you think you get to your teammates during the year. On a serious note, you had no idea, you know, that bond that you share as soon as you're – world champion and
United States champion.
Just, yeah, true.
Well, yeah, United States. I know
you guys still got to play the Grey Cup winner.
Some other countries with really good, you know, football leagues. So
What about, did you talk to Tom at all after, or no? Is he too big time for you?
Tom was gracious enough to give me a hug, and I thought, you know, that was so cool.
You introduced yourself to him then?
Yeah, I said, hey, Tom, nice to meet you. I helped us win the Jets game late in the year. I also had 5 hurries and 2 quarterback hits today, but I
Someone's reading his own stat line.
Okay.
Yeah, self-promotion.
Okay.
But I was like, you might not see me on the stat sheet, but you know, no, but Tom's like the man. Tom's the most down-to-earth dude. And, you know, it wasn't just me or other guys. Like, he makes sure that at all times he's being a great teammate. And he wasn't any different after a game. And I was just so happy for him because you see what he puts into it. He's 39 or 40 years old. He's still doing this, like, at a high level.
Yeah, weird. That's strange.
I mean,
Interesting. Very interesting. You said you're 31.
And you're sore all the time.
And you're sore, but he's not. He's doing all right.
Weird. How about that Pitbull performance, Chris, and Lil Wayne?
Those
are great, right?
Dude, I had to leave the party a little bit early.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. I opted to go party at a hotel ball with Joe Buck.
Ooh.
Who you guys upped his cool points big time. I always knew he was cool, but now you helped expose him.
What was he drinking, like a Zima?
Yeah.
Does he bring his own Zima?
Probably does the hard cider. He's a hard cider guy.
He had a Zima in a martini glass.
Yeah, he's a hard cider guy.
Also, that's not very capital J of Joe to be drinking with the fellas after a game.
Mm.
A little conflict of interest. So I guess he hates Atlanta.
Wow.
Separate church and state.
Yeah. Interesting.
Him and my dad didn't do that.
Wow. What? You're a tacky tattoo guy. Are you going to get a tattoo of the Lombardi trophy?
No. Well, not the actual trophy. I might add a little bit of ink.
Okay.
And
are you going to grow another arm? Where are you going to put that ink?
Yeah, you're running out of space, bro.
Maybe I'll have to go neck.
Neck tattoo. That's a good look.
Neck tats are so in, man.
Okay, here's an idea. Neck tattoo.
This guy, listen.
Okay.
This guy at the parade pulled, like, the side of his I don't want to say his pants, but, like, you know, the top of his jeans. He's like, and he had a 95 long tattoo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bro, I was like, I don't know why we pulled him up on the phone.
Was his name John Funnelberg?
I pulled him up on the float, and I introduced him to Minkovich, and I think they're, like, best friends now. So,
did he know that you were on a one-year deal?
No. I don't think. I think anytime you get another, you know, a pro athlete's name and number tattooed on your body, you're not thinking about, you know, contractual obligations.
True. Let's talk about that. What are you thinking now that Howie's out in LA all the time? The Rams.
Yeah.
Jeff's gone. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you guys are like, you guys think you're just like plucking all the pro athletes to go over to Barstool. Mm-hmm. You're hoping I might be like,
I didn't even say Barstool there, but okay.
We weren't inviting you, but if you want to invite yourself,
okay, you want
to. That's a polite thing to do.
You need analytics, Scott. No, yeah. I'm not retiring, but I don't know what I'm doing. So
right, well, you're already 6 weeks behind right now.
Yeah,
so. I am 6 weeks behind. We are so. So yeah, we'll see, but I'm not retiring. And,
breaking news!
You know, if I retire, you probably won't. You probably won't even know. So
yeah, you'll probably tweet it like two hours before you come on the show.
Sorry, all right. That was a major blunder.
Okay. All right. This last question is probably the most serious question I'm ever going to ask you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When PFT went to Media Day.
Yeah.
We found out that Edelman obviously
Marlon's woman.
We found out that Edelman obviously listens to the show, at least is aware of the show. You've gotten him on the show because you tell everyone about the show, and we really appreciate that. So Edelman knows. The minute that Hank found out Edelman knows, the first thing he said is, "Do you think Brady's ever listened to this show?" And he's been freaking out ever since. So can you confirm or deny? Even just like maybe he's in Julian's car or it's playing in the locker room, has Tom Brady ever heard our voices and especially Hank's voice?
You know what? Tom's definitely heard you guys. statistically, speaking, there's not that many people who haven't. So, Hank, if you're listening.
I just shed a tear.
Yeah, he's been freaking out. No joke.
Exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Exactly who you are.
We would be like just sitting there, and Hank would kind of be staring off space, like, "What's up, Hank?" He's like, "I just, I'm like, has Tom heard our show? Has he heard our show?"
Yeah. My wife listens to the show, and she's like, "Why is this segment so long? Can we hang out?"
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's like, "Hey, pina colada time." All right. Yeah. So that was a nice way of saying that you're on vacation. All right, Chris. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate you
guys. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. We won a Super Bowl as a team. And like I said, whenever you want to send us your Super Bowl share, a portion of it, we're ready to go.
And the ring.
What is the Super Bowl share?
Don't you get a bonus for winning the Super Bowl? We figure we probably deserve at least a part of it.
At least 33%. Yeah.
Each.
Yeah, I'll get accounting on it.
Okay.
And cool. And we'll talk about it.
Okay. Right. Keep Putin away from that ring. All right.
Okay, man.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Thanks, man. Enjoy your vacation.
All right, guys.
Bye.
See you.
That interview was brought to you by H&R Block, More Zero. It's tax season, and if you're doing your own taxes this year, you've got to try H&R Block, More Zero. The zero stands for zero dinero, zero costs, as in totally free. And unlike TurboTax Absolute Zero, H&R Block More Zero lets you file online for free, even if you itemize deductions. You heard me. If you deduct things like mortgage interest and charitable donations, you could still file for free with H&R Block More Zero. Can you do that with TurboTax? No, you can't. And don't give me some line about it being too hard to move all your stuff over. It's so easy to switch to H&R Block online from TurboTax, or any other tax preparer for that matter. Just snap a pic with your phone or drag and drop your files from your tablet or laptop, and voila, last year's tax return and your very important documents are imported in seconds. Simple. And seriously, free tax prep shouldn't cost you money, because then it's not free. So if you're paying somewhere else, check out More Zero from H&R Block online. Like John Hamm says, just don't get your taxes done. Get your taxes won. Lastly, if you are an award-winning listener, which I assume you are because you're listening to this right now, help us out. Help Podcast One out. Stay free to download with minimal ads by filling out a survey quickly at www.podcastone.com/mysurvey. We'd like to hear from you. Podcast One would like to hear from you. You'd be doing us a big favor for all the award-winning listeners out there right now. The survey is short and completely anonymous. It takes no more than 5 minutes. If you can go do it, it's www.podcastone.com/mysurvey. Thank you so much for supporting us and supporting our brand. Thanks to Chris Long, a great friend of the program. A little upset that he didn't break the White House news, but like he said, he got open lettered. And I think we need to start open lettering people.
Yeah, the open letter technique is a classic journalism trick. What we'll do is we'll just write a full letter and send it to somebody and be like, all you have to do is just retweet it or fave it.
Right.
On Twitter, that's it.
Right.
Then you tacitly agree with everything that we said.
Oh, we should maybe open letter people into coming on our show.
Mm-hmm.
That's our perfect next step for JJ.
JJ Watt.
Yep, we're done.
Tom, if you're listening, open letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're welcome. On.
Hank, should I tell
you? I don't know if Tom knows how to read.
Hank, should I tell you something should we go in the trust tree or no?
No, I don't think I want to hear it. Right, I'm in a good place right now, and I don't want to go near
I'm
a
happy
fucking
tree. I'm happy that you're in a good place. Your smile on your face when you said that was unbelievable. Let's do some segments. First up, we have Mike Greenberg's Dumb Rules.
Yes.
Turns out Mike Greenberg is the commissioner of baseball now, because MLB has announced they are tinkering with some things. They're going to start testing out a new extra inning rule where they start a guy at second base. This is also known as the Chicago 16-inch softball rule. This is how they play in 16-inch softball. So I love this rule, but it's a little wacky. So we have to fix extra innings because we didn't even know they were broken.
Well, how mad is Mike Greenberg that the one weird rule that he had for baseball, the one that they implemented, wasn't one that he came up with?
Right.
Like, he has thought of so many fucked up rules for the sport.
So many stupid rules.
And they just, like, pick another one out of thin air.
Right.
It's basically, well, you're starting with somebody on second base, it's entitlement. It's participation trophy culture. Yes. Just giving someone, knowing players these days, they're going to demand that they get credit for a double.
Thought they were born on second.
Yeah, born on, well, technically, everyone's born on second base because you start breastfeeding.
True.
So, that's the way I look at it,
nice.
At least. Here's how you can fix extra innings in baseball. Have have the players run the bases backwards and have position players throw only junk, but if you score, you get negative runs.
Australian rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, along the lines of the pitchers throwing junk, I think once you get to extra innings, batters and pitchers should have to switch.
Okay.
Arms, I'm saying. Like, so a lefty pitcher now has to pitch with his right. Same with the batter.
I like it. Oh, how about we just let Mike Greenberg's wife pick the winner?
That would actually be good.
Every game.
Yeah. Who,
every game that goes into extra innings, tweet it.
Oh.
Greeny's okay. Wife and be like, hey, who wins?
Now we're cooking. Let's do. So we, here's what we do for extra innings. We get the two fastest guys on each team.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Greenberg's wife comes out with a trash can at home plate. And they both have to run the trash, take out the trash. They have to run around the bases. Who can take out the trash first? Because we know Greeny gets yelled at a lot for that.
Using their trash gloves.
Right, exactly.
I like it. I think we just solved extra innings in baseball.
You weenie, Greeny. There you go.
I didn't know that extra innings needed to be solved.
No, they don't. They don't.
Is there a problem? Like, are we dealing with some... Do we need to limit concussions or something in baseball? We need to cut down practice.
You know
on?
What this is? This is, we call this the old David Stern trick. David Stern used to do this all the time, you know, in the middle of the summer when he did, when the NBA wasn't getting any headlines.
Yeah.
Changed the jerseys, changed the ball. Remember when they changed the ball and mm-hmm. it was the worst ball ever? So David Stern used to be the master at this. I think MLB is trying to do something. Super Bowl just ended. They're trying to get everyone back into baseball season, get some, you know, people talking about baseball. So let's just throw a stupid rule out there that's never going
to
work.
Also, if you screw something up and then you get to go back and you save it by removing the thing that you screwed up.
Right.
That's a pretty good, that's a classic like sitcom thing where you'd hire somebody to like mug you and your date.
Right.
And then you like pretend to fight the guy off, but usually it'd end up worse.
Right.
So that might be what Manfred's doing here, in which case I kind of applaud him. That's pretty balls. Oh, you know what they can do? Bring back the Spider-Man bases. You remember that?
Yes.
When they were going to advertise for Spider-Man movies?
Or the free Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So just put Spider-Man on every base. Don't like update it for a new movie. Just bring Peter Parker back.
We have a quick Sabermetrics. This one's coming out of San Francisco, where we have a new head coach and a new GM.
Yes. So Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they're working on coming up with a way to evaluate whether or not a player really loves football. So you can get a talented player in the draft. You can find talented players anywhere, but you need a guy that really loves them, mm-hmm. that loves football. So
what are they doing?
I don't know.
They're just trying to figure it out.
We need to figure out a way, like sabermetrically, how do you evaluate? Because you can't measure the size of a man's heart. It's not physically possible to do that.
Right.
So my idea was, when you're drafting him, you sit him down and you say, hey, we want to take you in the first round. Even if it's like some sixth round guy, you say, hey, we've got you pegged for number one, first round pick. That'll make you like $30 million guaranteed. And what we want to do is bench you for your first year and then just put a gun on the table and have like blanks in the gun. And if he shoots you with the gun, then you know he really loves football because he wants to play.
I what about, you know, when they do those combine meetings in Indianapolis, what about if they have a little good cop, bad cop? Maybe John Lynch hands the player a helmet, says, here you go, hold this. And then Kyle Shanahan says, no, you know what? You're concussed. I'm taking this helmet away. See if he'll fight to go back in the game. Even better, John Lynch kind of knows about concussions. He's been cussed about 150 times.
Yeah.
Player comes in. John Lynch hits him over the head with a hammer. Once he comes to, Kyle Shanahan then says, do you want to go back in or not, son?
Yeah, you ready, son?
Yeah.
See if you, that's a great way to do it. You could also just like lock him in a room with a football and not tell him
that they're a dark room.
Put him in a shed.
Yeah.
You get your football shed and you lock your guy in there, you turn the lights off,
but there's
a camera in there, okay? And you see all he has in the shed is a football. And you see how long it takes for him to start kissing the football.
Ooh. Or you could
7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah. Or you could just see if the player would let him let Bill Belichick sit on his face. That's really.
Do you really love football?
Yeah, you really love football?
Prove it.
Yeah, let's go.
Put your nose up this meaty cheek.
By the way, you had a great theory that we need to bring to light. The NFL having concussions go down this year.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, kind of connected some dots earlier today. It's funny how the NFL, they dropped their concussion numbers after Peyton Manning left the league.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, he who would always lead Austin Collie and Tony Gonzalez into traffic.
Right.
And Wes Welker. He was single-handedly jacking up the league's concussion rates.
People forget that Marvin Harrison wasn't the first Colt to kill a man. It was actually Peyton Manning when Austin Collie had to retire at like the age of 24.
Like six times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Peyton Manning, I think, the league had a Peyton problem for a while.
Right, right. It actually makes sense. Peyton was definitely worth a few concussions a year.
A year? Yeah. A few concussions a game.
Yeah, on both sides.
Ben Utecht, I don't think, has a head anymore.
That's so true.
Good laugh.
Yeah, good laugh at
concussion.
Concussions. Huh. CTE.
No offense.
No offense. Okay. Yep, no offense. Moving that on. Was just parody. we were satirizing the... Okay, we'll move on. So we have perspective for Jordan Spieth, who got into it with adult autograph seekers
adult
at Pebble
male
Beach.
Autograph seekers.
The salt of the earth.
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective.
We've done this before, Hank.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the show.
This was probably a Sunday show.
I was on cruise week.
Sunday show where you had been drinking all
So a little perspective for Jordan Spieth. I mean, just out of the gate, like, those are your fans. Those are people who are paying your salary. If there weren't fans, you would be doing nothing.
If it wasn't for adult autograph seekers, you would not have a salary. So
I think
better be thankful.
By the way, I adult autograph seekers, obviously, kind of scumbags, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. 100%. The guy's selling it. So I think what we need to do is we need to kind of even it out. If you're an adult autograph seeker, it should be fine. You should get no shame. You should have to wear a diaper though everywhere you go. If you're asking for autograph,
if you think that's going to stop any autograph seekers,
like, hey,
you have no idea the kind of people that you're dealing with.
Right, but wouldn't that be like, you need to at least be publicly shamed? We need to be able to laugh at you publicly.
I don't know how much more publicly shamed you can get than like actively being
an
adult
autograph.
They don't have
shame. We need to add shame to
them. They don't have shame.
Right.
Nothing you can do can shame them.
Wear a big diaper.
But I want to
maybe suck their thumb.
I want
to
say
while they ask for the
yeah, have a pacifier in. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to. Here's the rule. You have to be going around sucking on your mom's tit.
Yeah. If you want an
autograph,
if you're over the age of 13.
If you're going to act like a kid, then act like a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
That's my point.
But seriously, I want to get real with Spieth for a second here because I have a soft spot,
Spieth, by the way,
for autograph seekers. I think they're, you know, sometimes great people. I want to tell them a little story about 56 men who were autograph seekers. They didn't go to a place like Pebble Beach. They didn't go to a place like Dubai or Mar-a-Lago. They met in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and their names were John Hancock and a bunch of other guys.
Thomas Jefferson.
And
we know
a lot
he
of,
was on there.
A lot of dudes.
Yep.
And they were just being guys, and they were autograph seekers. They collected 56 of those suckers, and they sent them to the king. And without that, we would not have a country, and you would not have a set of golf clubs.
Yeah, and you would not be able to afford hair treatment because you're going bald at 23.
Yeah,
so think
absolutely.
About that, Jordan.
Yeah.
Put a little perspective.
Mm-hmm. And golf wouldn't have been invented because the United States wouldn't have existed.
Right, because we invented golf.
Yeah, and not
it was actually Thomas Jefferson
over there
just
in
throwing rocks into a hole. That's how golf was invented.
Well, he had people that did that for him.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
He didn't pay.
We have a respect the biz. This one's wild. I don't even understand this one. Throw it at us.
Okay, CNN's Chris Cuomo. He today, I think it was on Sirius Radio, said, I see being called fake news as the equivalent of the N-word for journalists.
Oh.
So he's firing some heaters with that one.
I love it. You know why? Because this is our word now.
Yeah, that's right. We can say it.
Yeah, you can't say it.
Not you, Hank.
You can't say it.
Don't use our word.
Yeah, don't even try it.
Not even in a rap song, Hank.
Yeah, not even when you're just with your friends.
Yeah, I want a rapper to come out with a song that uses fake news in it so that I can yell at him and be like, hey, bro, that's our word.
Yeah, you can't even use it if you don't say an S on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Fake new.
That's right.
Nope. Can't do it.
You got to put the asterisks, the dots, when you're writing it out online. Now.
I like, that's a hot, hot take. I love it.
I agree with it.
Did you also see, by the way, not a segment, but Steph Curry said that Donald Trump is an asset if you remove the ET?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, let's just say it's tookus. The word's tookus.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's also a shout out to Benefit, one of the greatest rappers of all time. You guys might not know who he is, but he's the guy that was like, I'm like the word basic, only minus BA. Get it?
Sick?
Yeah.
You should probably see a doctor.
Yeah.
That was a really corny joke.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Dad.
All right, we have next up, as a white guy, this one, NBC announced that Bob Costas is handing over Olympic duty to Mike Tirico. And if you remember, Mike Tirico is a white guy, as he said. He doesn't really know, you know, he can't trace his whole entire family lineage. He says he's an Italian guy.
Yeah, he says he's Italian.
Italian Mike. So as a white guy, I'm happy that Bob Costas is passing off the Olympic coverage to another white guy.
It's good to see
the white guys keep their jobs in the media business.
That's right. We're getting called the N-word for journalists all the time with the FN-word.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's good to see somebody that kind of can take the reins back on that.
Yeah. Mike Tirico, thank you for carrying the white torch for us. The Brotherhood. We might want to cut that word out.
The Brotherhood.
Cut that part out. An Emergency Who's Back. Does Emergency Who's Back get a move? Yeah, let's do it. Emergency Who's Back. Johnny Manziel is back. He is reportedly had a tryout with the CFL, which the CFL is exactly where Johnny Manziel needs to start his comeback.
Yes.
We all agree.
Absolutely. I want a picture of Johnny Manziel on top of a fucking glacier with the caption, "I fucking love cocaine."
Right. Yes.
That's what I want out of this situation. Also, there's some drama going on up here. Okay. So the Saskatchewan Rough Riders said that he was trying out for them. Turns out, I'm sorry. No, they did not say that. There was a report that he was trying out for them.
Saskatchewan Good Buddies.
Yes. Turns out that he is contractually obligated to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So he can't do two tryouts. So he allegedly had a tryout with an alleged team in Canada. But this is great by Johnny Manziel because he's drumming up interest.
It's a bidding war. Yeah, and the CFL is a good spot for him because the hardest drug in Canada is Molson Dry.
Yeah.
So he'll be good.
Yeah, plus you can't roll up a $22.50 bill.
Yeah, it's a loon.
Yeah.
You can't roll up a loon. I'm back on. We obviously met Johnny Manziel Super Bowl week.
Mm-hmm.
He was at our party, talked to him a little bit. He does look like he's doing well.
He was drinking water.
He was drinking water. Confirmed. And he looked like he's doing well. So I'm rooting for him to actually make a comeback.
I actually think that the nation of Canada is a good place for Johnny. Mm-hmm. He can. You remember that book Hatchet?
Yes.
That was probably the last book I read. Yeah.
Yeah. Except The Big Short. Better than the movie.
He should do a hatchet for himself and just go kind of live by a lake and set it up like Survivor Man. Mm-hmm. So there are cameras on him and just document him like throwing spirals at squirrels and stuff and killing his own meat that way. Just live for a year as a Canadian.
I think it took me until like age 18 or 19 for me to stop saying that Gary Paulson was my favorite author.
Yeah.
I realized it was pretty embarrassing.
Did you ever read Hatchet 2?
No.
Sucked.
There's another one too, right? Or is it Hatchet 2, but there's another Gary Paulson book that was like very popular.
I don't care to
it's
know
like
any
the
other
Lake characters. Or Pearl. Yeah. The Pearl. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, no, Hatchet. He wrote
it's basically Hatchet. The Hatchet and the Giver. If you read those two books, you're a pretty well-read guy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Canada shirts, we have shirts on sale.
Yes, get them. Barstool Sports
Store.
Sorry, they're actually the best shirts I think we've ever produced. I'm not just saying that, but I am. Lastly, before we get to Jimbo's, we have a little PR 101.
Yes.
For Sean Spicer, who is White House press secretary, he's getting a lot of heat around the world.
He's getting dragged, as the kids say.
Yeah, he's getting dragged on the internet. He's had a contentious relationship with all the journos in the White House press corps. And recently, he was parodied on SNL by Melissa McCarthy. It's pretty embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the one thing that Trump doesn't like the most about the situation. He doesn't like having somebody that can be impersonated by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that as big-time journalists that we are.
We know it. We know the biz.
Yeah,
we're in the biz.
We know the biz. We wanted to offer him some tips on how to better communicate with us. So right off the bat, as far as I'm concerned, you want to get in my good graces? You want to put the ball back in my court? Make more references to Hitler. So when they say, how come you didn't mention Jewish people in your Holocaust Remembrance Day speech? Say, well, you know who else singled out Jewish people?
It
was Hitler. So actually, you're the one that's being the Nazi.
Turn the tables on him.
Yeah.
The second tip we have for Sean Spicer, puppies. And let's go a little farther because everyone loves puppies.
Bring a puppy out with
you. Yeah, maybe actually do a PowerPoint and just retweet cute emergency right in everyone's face. But bring a puppy out with you. Maybe a little vial of poison, and anytime the White House press starts asking questions you don't want to answer,
gotcha questions.
Little poison in the puppy's eyeball, maybe, or like, in his nose, his snout.
You want to ask me about Trump's prank call that he did to New Zealand?
Yeah.
Guess what? Here's some botulism. Yeah. Just right in the rear.
Just start poisoning a puppy.
I love it. That's actually a really good idea.
It is.
So the fact that they're able to portray you as a woman on SNL, I understand it's problematic mm-hmm. for you, but it's 2016. They should be able to do that. What you should do is send a dick pic by mistake, like on your Facebook account, on Twitter,
yeah.
something like that. We know that you accidentally tweeted out your password and some other stuff a few weeks ago. Maybe do like DM at Katie Couric. And just have it be a dick pic.
Yeah.
And then everyone knows, guess what? You're a dude. Can't fake that.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy can't fake that if you just flash everyone your dick.
Yeah.
And, bonus, if I know ladies like I think I do, you send them a dick pic and they're probably going to fall in love.
Right. Yeah. The people in the press house, and the people in the press room at the White House aren't going to be able to write if their notepads are soaked.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Just beat them to their own game.
Yeah.
Take away the paper. And then lastly, we have, this one's just easy, just compliment Northwestern, Columbia, Syracuse, and Missouri. Maybe like go show up with a Northwestern hat and a Columbia sweatshirt and a pin from Syracuse, mm-hmm. and I don't even know.
What. Stop saying the FN word.
Yeah, don't say the FN word. That's our word.
Also, just walk with a limp.
Yeah, that's actually good with a cane. Just get a cane.
Cane guy.
You know what? Just get a walking boot. Ben Roethlisberger.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay, solve your problem.
You know what? Forget all the puppy poisoning and the Hitler stuff.
You can still poison the puppy just for fun.
Show up in a walking boot and everything will solve itself out. And maybe say that you're thinking about not playing next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about the walking boot and the puppy killing, you've basically got the 2015 Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback roster.
There
right
we
there.
Go. So
and
we're set.
Nobody talked any shit to them.
Right, exactly. So you're set. Sean Spicer, thank us. Don't thank us, but thank us.
Yeah, maybe thank
a little shout out.
Wet
like,
the beak,
yeah, subscribe to Pardon My Take.
Ooh, let us into the briefings. How about that?
I would love to come.
Mm-hmm. I accept your invitation, Sean
yeah,
Spicer.
Okay, we're in.
I'll see you there.
We're in. Hopefully we won't get too wet.
We'll write him an open letter.
We have the end of the week. Jimbo's. It's good to be back in the studio, by the way. Just going to throw it out there.
It is nice.
Feels mm-hmm. good. Feels good to be back with all of our award-winning listeners. So you can hear our voices better. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's up?
All right, let's do it. A couple years ago, some of the freshmen on my cross-country team decided to start nut-tapping me at random times during practice.
Mm. Classic.
Classic freshman move, right?
Mm. Classic guys.
Guy joke.
Finally had enough after one guy kicked an exercise ball in my face, so I ran after him and swung for his nuts. He blocked me, and somehow my shoulder popped out of my socket.
Ooh. But you didn't hit his nuts.
So this kid's basically like a junior getting bullied by freshmen on the cross-country team.
Nut-taps. Classic.
Tried to fight back and just popped his shoulder out of his socket.
You got to drop out of school.
Yeah.
Like I got a pretty quick trigger to tell people to drop out of school, but this is even quicker. This is like, you shouldn't be around other people your age.
Yeah, you can't get bullied.
Go make adult friends. It sounds like you need to spend more time like at a retirement home. They'll be happy to have you around, but don't be around peers. You're not meant to do that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and actually, nut tapping at adult retirement homes, I mean, you can't feel your dick after the age of 60, right?
Be like 40.
Yeah, so you're good.
All right, I really had to pee at work. Guy's bathroom was locked, so I used the girls. Started peeing in the sink because I didn't want to use the toilet.
Okay.
Forgot to lock the door.
Yeah.
Manager walked in midstream over the sink.
Huh. Okay, I got a couple questions.
Yeah.
Here. So I totally get that you didn't want to use a toilet. Like, toilets are overrated.
Well, peeing in sinks is also underrated.
Yeah,
underrated.
Well, PGIT.
Love to pee in sinks.
Pee goes in toilet, but when you're in a new environment, when you're in a women's room, it's all stalls, so you get disoriented. As a guy, you think that everything's a urinal in
crab
there.
Crab meme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is when you walk in. I'm big into the walking into the women's bathroom when the men's bathroom is being used. You just have to be confident about it and mm-hmm. not pee in the sink. There's times to pee in the sink. There are absolutely times to pee in your sink, like when you're just lazy and you don't want to flush a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great time to pee in your sink. So when you're just standing washing your hands, you're like, ooh, I got to pee in your sink.
Also, if you get caught, just pretend you don't speak English. And people will be like, oh, he's in a different country. I guess this is what they do over there.
Yeah. Or you could just say that you have really big balls and you want to pee on your balls. So you maybe rested your dick over the ledge on the sink.
And then you probably get laid out of it.
Yep, exactly.
I like that.
And a promotion.
I like that audio meme you just threw in there.
Yeah, the crab meme.
Huh?
Bad radio. What are all these stalls? And it smells nice.
I'm a 6'10", 25-year-old man, and I just realized it says that I'm a female on my passport. I'm going on vacation this weekend.
Okay, first of all, nice brag on the height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's 2016.
Yeah. And now you can use every bathroom. There we go. We just solved the other one, too. Get a passport that says you're a female when you're a male, and you can pee in all the sinks you want to pee in.
This girl said she stayed in New Orleans for 5 days. Jimbo.
That is a Jimbo, yeah.
Jimbo.
I put New Orleans in the same category as Vegas.
You probably smell like oil.
Yeah, it's a 2-3 day trip and then you're out.
Yeah.
Not a lot of good Jimbos this week, for being honest.
Oh, we got to step it up. Are you saying we got to step it up?
We got to step it up.
Okay.
We gotta stop sending such long ones. Like, I can't read.
Hank can't get through them. Come on.
Not a lot of good Jimbos, but there actually might be good Jimbos. We just can't read those.
Right, yeah. Like, give me like a...
Get to the point in your Jimbos. Yeah. Just maybe a slideshow.
You know, start just drawing your Jimbos for us. It'd be a lot easier that way.
This one was pretty funny, though, because I saw him live. He says, I went to the Kirby Ice House to meet a client. Planned on going home to watch the rundown. Ended up getting wasted and stood front row. Got busted by my wife for double fisting on national TV and by a bunch of coworkers for vaping.
Oh,
and I remember seeing this guy in the front, and he was fucked up, like just aggressively vaping and like chugging beers.
I respect it.
Sorry,
I mean,
for partying.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Did you guys see? I have one Jimbo.
What would you say to your wife if you were that guy, though?
It was a prank.
Yeah, I'd say deal with it. Yeah,
it's a prank. Yeah,
it was man night.
Yeah. Sorry for pardon. I also have a Jimbo. I bought a certificate, shareholder certificate, and the team I bought it from, they keep producing new artwork every year and charging me more money every single year, even though my shares don't actually, you know,
the Swans
mean anything. Hmm. No, it's actually the Packers.
Oh, okay.
The Packers are doing that to their shareholders. They're fucking stupid idiots.
They're making people upgrade their shares.
Yes,
you got the 2016 model. That thing's a piece of crap.
Packers are printing. They're selling new shareholder certificate artwork every year for $40. So, Jimbo, for all you Packers fans that actually buy that shit.
I don't know how the Packers can issue stock, but we can't sell stock in a goldfish.
It seems unfair. Seems a little prejudicial.
Yeah.
Also,
back news.
Good for the Packers for selling this stock. Maybe they'll be able to afford a tight end.
Oh, or a coach that can call plays in the playoffs.
Yeah. Get Aaron Rodgers that help.
Yeah.
Do you have any Jimbos, Hank?
I let my phone die at the end of the Super Bowl, so I didn't get to record any videos from the post party.
All right, this is... Okay.
I'm looking back. I wish I had the videos of it, but, what can you do? I have the memories, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good job, Hank.
Thank you.
I went on national television, and I had a guy dabbing his face off next to me.
Yeah.
And I just broke down because your dabs were so good.
I am going to predict something that I have complete control in. And I still won't be able to stop myself. I'm going to concuss myself with some dabs eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That one was close. My neck, it's a real violent movement on my neck. I think it's going to happen.
That's a sub-concussive dabs. Those are the ones that get you.
Right. And people say that bloggers/podcasters isn't a dangerous business.
It is extremely dangerous. Right. My insurance rates are through the roof.
All right. That is our show. We will see you next week. We have some good canned interviews from Super Bowl week, plus Ice Cube, who loves us. Would you say Ice Cube loves us?
Or hates us. One of the two.
He really, really hates
us. He also might not remember us.
Yeah, that's probably correct. So we will see you on Monday.
Love you.
Serving yayo to the gringos. Black Beetle club clothes when I say so.
That girl is a real crowd pleaser. Small world, all the friends know me. could release the cash, watch it fall slowly. Frat girl still trying to get me. Haters mad for what?